for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, August the 30th, 2008. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the wise and foolish virgins.
Well, good afternoon. This is a hard time of day. But I had an hour nap, at least. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to cover this place with your precious blood. We ask you to loose your ministering angels over this camp, into this room, whatever kind of angel we need. And Lord, we confess that it's not by our might nor by our power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Father, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable to you, O God. Thank you that you said if I commit my way to you, my thoughts will be established. And Lord, we ask for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, miracles, healing, cures, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, and gifts of prophecy to be poured out upon this place. Father, we loose upon this place the spirit of repentance, the conviction of sin, the fear of the Lord. And Father, I pray that if there's one person in here in that 2%, in that 98% that calls themselves Christians that do not know you, I pray today that they will be convicted of their sins and their lives will be transformed today in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you that I don't have to go to a meeting to ascend to the heavenly third heaven. I'm already there, and everyone who names the name of Christ is seated with you in the heavenly places, in the third heavens, far above principalities and powers. And Lord, we don't have to go to a meeting to teach us how to ascend or astral project. We're there already in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you praise. And Lord, from our position in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers, we take the keys you've given us to the kingdom of heaven. We take dunamis power, kratos power, exousia power, and the keys that you've given us to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose. And we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, our families, our marriages, our homes, our children, our finances, and this camp and anything that concerns us. In the name of Jesus, we bind and break every word, curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, incantation, divination, assault, assignments, attachments, voodoo, magic, black magic, sorcery, rituals, words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments spoken over us, our children, our marriages, our homes, our grandchildren, our possessions, our finances, everything that concerns us. In the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit in this meeting that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, I want to teach today, or the Holy Spirit's going to teach, on wise virgins and foolish virgins. And you're one of the other. You're either a wise virgin in God's eyes or you're a foolish virgin. Before I do that, though, I just had an observation this morning. This morning in prayer meeting, I see people come. The times I've been to prayer meeting, I see them come. But you know what? Most of the people that come to the morning prayer meeting and come to the camp, most of them, their greatest need is for salvation. You could be in that 98% of what calls themselves Christians and have never been born again. Being born again means everything about your life changes. You don't want to cuss anymore. You don't want to shack up. You don't want to do those things. You maybe still be working on not doing them, but it grieves your heart to and breaks your heart to sin against God. And so let me just say this. If you're lukewarm, you're lost. If you think the Word of God is ho-hum, boring, you're lost. If you want your way more than you want God's way, you're lost. And so today, I hope that, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will take the scales off of my eyes and the eyes of every person in this room. You cannot have salvation, you cannot have deliverance, and you cannot have healing unless Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is your master, your boss. And the message last night was so appropriate, and the message Carla had. But you cannot have deliverance. You cannot have salvation unless Jesus Christ is Lord. Does that mean you're perfect? No. It just means that you're working on it. It means that in Christ, as you yield to Him, He sees you as perfect as He's perfect. He sees you as holy as He is holy, as you give your life 100% to Jesus. Does that mean that you're totally delivered? No. Does that mean you have other areas you have to work on? Yes. When Jesus is Lord over every area of your life, you make Him Lord, and He'll let you rest a little, and then He'll show you another place He's not Lord. It is a walk. Salvation is a walk of putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Let me say this. If you do not forgive others, you will not go to heaven. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible says that if you are a liar, a thief, a murderer, a fornicator, adulterer, a homosexual, effeminate, a reviler, an abuse which abuses people with words, that you'll not have eternal life. And you know, in this country right now, there's been a man in Florida possessed by the devil, come out of Satanism, and they called him a revival. You know, when revival happens is when you make Jesus Christ Lord, Master, King of your life, then revival comes. You can have revival 24/7 as you walk in the Spirit. Carla used the scripture in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? You die to yourself. You choose God's way over your way. You choose His plan over your plan. Dying your flesh means that you have to do things you don't want to do sometimes. Amen? And with me, it's don't get that extra tamale or that extra taco. I mean, the sex is not temptation. There's nothing in this world that tempts me. My biggest temptation is food. And that's just as sinful to overeat as it is to do something else. Sin is sin. And you know, you hear sometimes in camps, you know, you can't use the word homosexual. Well, why use it? Just use perversion, because people are shacking up all over the place. Men and women, men with men, women with women. It's a sin. And God says that if you are into sexual sin, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, those things, you have to quit doing them. You have to be willing to stop it. And God's grace will, the Bible says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will Himself strengthen, confirm, establish, and perfect you. If you're an alcoholic, and you can be a food drunk, an alcohol drunk, a medicated drunk on the world's sorcery, you can be medicated drunk, it's still a spirit of drunkenness. And God says you'll not inherit the kingdom of God if you do those things. Now, if you repent of those things, and all of us that have repented, we've done some of those things, but we don't continue wallowing in sin. And we have to be willing to purify ourselves, as Carla said, so that we can be a vessel of honor to God. Amen? And you can run for deliverance 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and if you're not willing to confess your sins and repent of your sins, you will come away 7 times worse. So you need to repent. I need to repent. We're living in days right now that if you don't know the Word of God, you're going to be swept away with the flood of lies and heresies in the church today. The Elijah list somehow got on my computer, and I leave it on there because I want to know what the latest witchcraft is, so I can warn you. Quantum physics, you know, going to a meeting. There's a man. I don't know. Well, I just thought of his name, but I don't need to name him. But he's advertising these meetings where he's going into a city and he's going to open a portal and he's going to bring down the glory of God. Garbage. Be careful of meetings where there's no word. If you're in a church and the pastor does not teach the word of God, and I don't mean a scripture here and a scripture there, I mean like Carla gave you this morning. The word of God is what transforms you. If you're not interested in the word of God, the Bible says he sent his word to heal you. Some of you are physically sick because you've been lukewarm. You've lived in bitterness and you've lived in unforgiveness and you have not walked in repentance, and sickness comes upon your body. 99% of sickness is because of sin. Now, I've been working on eye problems, and today I'm going to talk about lamp. The Bible says the lamp of the body is the eyes. Well, guess what? I've got a lamp problem. And you know what? I'm not going to the world looking for the answer. It's not out there. I don't need to go out there and have them cut on my eyes and put needles in my eyes. Then I have double, triple problems. Right now, I just have eyes that haven't been tampered with. And so God can heal them or he cannot heal them. But the Bible says he sent his word to heal me. And the answer, if you've got any physical problem, the answer is here in God's word. Amen. It's not out there. It's here in God's word. And I recently have lost some of the most godly, precious friends to death. And I saw them go to the world for answers. And I knew when they went to the world for answers, they were not going to be healed. The answer is right here in God's word. I haven't found all the answers, but you know what? As long as I have breath, I'm going to be looking in this word for the answers to my problems. I'm not going to be going out there if I die tomorrow. So what? You die, you're going to heaven. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die and afterwards the judgment. But I think you can get killed a lot quicker looking for some other answer. And the answers are in God's Word. And if you have been lukewarm and you have not been in God's Word, you better repent. Because you're living in days. Today, the Word of God in most churches is almost extinct. People are following after everything because they don't know what the Word of God says. In Ezekiel 44, as Brother Oliver, as he was preaching, as he's written the book on the sons of Zadok, it talks about in the church, God leaves two kinds of priests. He leaves a prophet that's a prophet of Baal, and he leaves a son of Zadok, and the preachers of Zadok, they will discern between the holy and the profane. But the people that just want their ears tickled, which is 98% of the church, they'll run after that. And let me tell you, they're prophets of Baal. These false prophets are just about have ruined the church with their wordless meetings, their falling gold dust, and their feathers, and their portals. And you know what, the glory of God, whenever you yield to the Lordship of Jesus, God's glory comes all over you. And no man can give you glory. No man can give you an anointing. God is the one that does that. It is so arrogant. And then some of the prophets are leaping into their destiny and they're fanning their glory and they're hopping and leaping and jumping. Preaching peace and safety when it's not peace and safety out there. So God help us. So I tell you what, right now, I want you to stand up, and if you are uncertain about your salvation, if there has never been a time when you know you're born again, and I want to explain. I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham crusade, but my life did not change until I was 25, until I got in the Word of God. I got saved reading the Bible. And all of a sudden, a curse word came out of my mouth. I used to curse like a sailor. And a curse word came out of my mouth. And I said, God, that doesn't sound like anything a Christian ought to say. And that day, God delivered me 46 years ago from profanity. But you see, the minute I got transformed reading the Bible, I knew I was different. I wasn't even the same person. And so if there's never been a time in your life when you've received Jesus and your life has just been turned around, you need to get born again. Your salvation is up here in your head, not in your heart. And so God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So I want you to examine your heart, and if you have not experienced a born again, I don't mean believing in Jesus with your head. The devil does that. I mean have it in your heart where you're a new creation. And if you haven't, I want now, and until you are willing to 100% give your life to God, as long as you want to hold back some and want to live after your flesh, it didn't work because God judges your heart. So pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, in Jesus' name, have I been born again? Lord, I want to be born of your Spirit. Not just a church member, but I want a new life. And Lord, if I need to be saved, I ask you to save me now. In Jesus' name. And some of you think you have to get good enough before he takes you. That's a lie. You know the song that says, just as I am without one plea, his precious blood was shed for me. I come. You come just like you are, mess and all, and yield to the potter. What does the clay do? It just yields to the potter. The clay don't take the junk out of the clay. The clay doesn't turn the potter's wheel. See, if you grew up being performance-oriented, had to perform, then you get saved. You think you have to perform for God. All God wants is you to give up. Let go. Let go of your life and you'll find it. Junk and all. Don't think God's going to say, clay, you're too bad. Chunk you. He's not going to do that. He wants you to yield to him so he can get the junk out. As long as you're off the potter's wheel, he won't work on the junk. But he'll let the demons whip you up one side and down the other, and then you're coming to Lake Hamilton looking for deliverance. And it's because of sin. Did you know the demons can't touch you unless there's sin in your life? If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies, demons, to be at peace with him. Right? God says, if you're looking for healing, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Your healing will never be any greater than a prospering soul. You don't get a prospering soul watching TBN or PTL or some of those false Baal prophets of Baal on television. It is an abomination. And you know what? God leaves them in for people that aren't his remnant. His remnant are the ones that are the wise virgins. The ones that want to purify themselves. They're not pure, but they're wanting God to make them pure. They're positionally pure because Jesus died for their sins, washed away their sins. But then now we have to work our salvation out with fear and trembling. The other day I got an email where they were having Bible studies someplace in this country where they want to have intimacy with Jesus, and so they have sex with Jesus. You know what that is? That is incubus, succubus, litibus. That is having sex with demons. These ascending in worship. Well, certainly we're supposed to praise God. Certainly we enter God's presence through worship. But to ascend in worship is like the astral. It's like the witchcraft astral projection. There's another one called ecstasia worship, which is coming out of the word ecstasy. I may not be saying it right. And ecstasia dancing. Well, it's a tribal drum beat, which calls forth evil spirits. If you've ever been to a Bill Gothard seminar, Bill Gothard shares about certain kinds of music calls forth evil spirits. If it's got a tribal beat to it. And it is so tribal and so demonic. And then the dance is that they're dancing around with this demonic music, and the women have halters and their stomachs are showing, and they're supposed to be honoring God, worshiping half naked. God help us. It's time the church wakes up. And we're living in days that if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not in the Word of God, you better get in it. Because you will take up and fall for every doctrine that comes down the pike. I see it happening. And it's so grievous, but then you see, well, God says it in Ezekiel 44 to certain people that, Brother Oliver said last night when Ezekiel said, Lord, why did you let us get taken into captivity? And why do you allow these two kinds of priests, this kind of priest in the church? And he said, well, you know, people need to be buried and they need to have, anyway. That's why the prophets are there. And I'm telling you, you need to be careful. This thing in Lakeland, 99% of charismatic ministries endorsed that thing. And that shows you what little discernment these prophets are supposed to have. They're finding out the man is into adultery. He's a liar. And he's got excessive drinking problem. Now, I don't say that. I'm not saying that trying to be arrogant, because I tell you, I know the only reason we don't fall is because of the grace of God. And I pray if God ever would let me turn my back on Him, that He takes me out the day before I do it. Because I don't want to live in the shame of turning my back on God. But they'll still say this man is anointed. He's all of this. If no murder, liar, thief, adulterer, fornicator, reviler, slanderer can go to heaven, but yet he can be anointed. I'm telling you, it's heresy. And so you need to know the Word of God. Okay, the Bible says the lamp of the body is the eye. If the eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. So go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6, please. You know, I think it's time that we started speaking up, because we've tried to be so nice for so long that the false prophets have about destroyed the church. They have. They have just about ruined the church with all their mess. And let me tell you something else that's not of the Lord. Drunkenness is not of the Lord. It is a judgment on spiritual adultery. It's a judgment on physical, being a physical drunk. But when you pray a prayer to receive Jesus and your heart goes after another lover, you've committed spiritual adultery. And God sends the spirit of drunkenness on a harlot. Isaiah 29 says that He made him drunk, but not with wine. God sent a spirit of sleep because they gave God lip service. That's in Isaiah 29. But don't take my word for it. Pull up every scripture on drunk, drunken, sober, alert. I've done it, and you'll see there's only one scripture they use to substantiate their doctrine, and that's the one when they thought the disciples were drunk. And God doesn't make freaks out of His children. And don't let just anybody lay hands on you, because if they lay hands on you and all of a sudden you start going like this, you got their demons. If all of a sudden you can get drunk by them touching you, they're important demons to you. And God's allowing it. It's a judgment. It's not a blessing. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Y'all are probably already there. Matthew 6. It's time that we repented. It's time we quit playing church. Okay, verse 21 of Matthew 6. For where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, which means single, it means I only have eyes for Jesus. In Ecclesiastes, the king talks to the bride and he says, your eyes, my darling, are like dove's eyes. A dove has no peripheral vision. So the bride in Song of Solomon, and you as the bride, has to have a single eye for God. That means an eye that's unadulterated. And it says if your eye is clear, unadulterated, free of idols, your whole body will be full of light. And it says if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, because I've been given a bad eye diagnosis, I read this scripture and I said, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. and I can be in a dim place, and it's getting better after all the spinach and praying and repenting I'm doing. But I mean, I can be in a dim place with my glasses and I can't see. I mean, I can't distinguish in dim, dark places. So when I read this, I'm saying, if your eyes bad, your whole body's full of darkness. So that means I got some darkness in me. And you see, the more you repent, the more the darkness leaves and light comes in. The Bible says that the entrance of God's Word gives light. So if I'm having a problem in dark places, hey, I need a lot of light from this Word, don't I? And, you know, whatever God wants to do, I hear people say, well, I believe God told me He's going to heal me, and He doesn't. I mean, I'm not saying it with that attitude. If God heals me, praise God, I believe He will. But if He doesn't, you know what? I'm going to go out trusting Him. I'm not going to go out trusting nothing else. By His grace, please, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on all of us. I bet I walk around losing. I've lost so many close, godly friends. And I'm thinking, who do you think you are, Jerry McGee? These people are so godly. And so I walk around all the time saying, God, have mercy on me. He has had mercy. But let it continue, Lord. Let it continue. And we need God's mercy and grace. It says, but if your whole body is full of darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Now, the eye is bad, that means the eye is toiling after something. You know, we can toil after somebody to love us. We can toil after acceptance. We can toil after money. We can, whatever is our idol, we're striving to get it, right? If it's love. You know, if your mother and daddy love you, you don't even have a need, really, to feel loved. But if your mom and dad don't love you, you unconsciously, where your parents violate this word in training you up, you have an automatic issue. If you don't take that to God and say, Lord, I forgive my mama and daddy for not loving me, and I let the sun go down on it, guess what? I've turned to a false god, and my whole life I am striving and toiling after trying to find somebody to love me. You see what I'm saying? And so the more of those things we've got in our eye, the it's bad. And so God, every time you repent, God takes out some darkness and puts some light in. Amen? That's why we are changed from glory to glory to glory. And you cannot have God's glory. You cannot have God's glory unless Jesus Christ is Lord, Master, King, and boss of your life. You can get some stuff at some of these meetings, but I can tell you, it's not God's glory. God's glory only comes one way, and that's crucifying your flesh. I wrote this one so-called prophet. Emailed him the other day. He sent out a prophecy called Fanning Your Glory in Your Blood will Wash Away Your Iniquity. I said, what in the world is your blood and my blood have anything to do with washing away my sin? It's the precious blood of Jesus. And I used scripture to tell him everything about that prophecy that was wrong. And you know what? He never answered my email. And you know, I'm thinking, well, why didn't he answer my email? Because when you use scripture, nobody can come against it. When you back what you say up with the Word of God, they don't have a leg to stand on. And so, and if they want to shoot you back a scripture and show you where you're wrong, hey, we submit. We just want to submit to the Word of God and yield to the Word of God. Oh, I have to wear these clip-on earrings here. They really torture your ears. I told Glenn one day, I said, Glenn, these clamp-on earrings are crucifying my ears. And he said, well, don't wear them. So I won't wear them. Amen. Anyway, so if your eyes bad, your whole body's full of darkness. Now in Matthew chapter 5, I want you to go there if you will. I said it's Matthew chapter 5. He told the disciples, he said, he's the light of the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's the light of the world. He's the Word of God. The other day a lady emailed me and she said, you know, we can make an idol out of the Word of God. I said, how can you make an idol out of the Word of God if God exalts His Word over His name and Jesus is the Word of God? How can you make an idol out of the Word of God? Tell me. Isn't that ridiculous? The prophets of today are treating the Word of God like it is irrelevant. They're creating new, what they call new revelations, new heresies, witchcraft. They're servants of Satan. They're prophets of Baal. And I'll just say this, and hopefully I won't say any more about a prophet. Have you ever known a true prophet in the Word of God that was popular? Have you? That ought to be a clue. Have you ever known a true prophet in the Word of God that did not teach that men should repent of their sins? Not one. But yet we follow along after these people that exalt themselves. One of them is going over into England to try to tear down altars of established God's altars at Stonehenge. Is that ridiculous? Stonehenge is a place where there was known for satanic worship in England, and it's probably the most renowned place where there have been satanic rituals, and I don't know if it's still going on. It probably is. The only way you can go in there and cleanse an altar is go in there and demolish it, tear it down, burn it, then anoint it with oil, and then you can pray over it. But you don't have authority to go into a foreign country that's owned by the city and do anything to a place that belongs to somebody else. And then they're taking people that are baby Christians, or they're into all this mess, and what they're doing is they're going over there and they're filling them up with demons. That's all that does. Jesus is Lord of my life, but I wouldn't dare set foot in Stonehenge. And I know my authority, but I don't get out on the freeway and have a picnic either. Anyway, you don't want to... Some of it is so blasphemous. There's another guy that's token the ghost. He's token the ghost like he's smoking the Holy Ghost. It is so blasphemous. And every day on the Elijah list, I wonder what new, or the Identity Network, I wonder what new witchcraft is on the scene now. So I'm telling you that. I'm not trying to be critical, but it's time somebody said it's not right. I mean, they're teaching it's right. There's got to be one or two people saying it's not right. Right? Anyway, I thank God for Lake Hamilton. I thank God for the teaching here. I thank God for Brother Oliver. I told him last night, I said, you are the best preacher I've ever heard in my entire life. He spoke God's word. And my life was blessed. In fact, I thought I need to get saved. I did. I thought, oh God, I don't hear you like he does. In the bathtub, get up and go with your car. I'm saying, oh God, I must be in my comfort zone. But you know what? If God has ordered your steps, and you just, when God's, you know what? I've discovered when God speaks to me, I know it. You know what I'm saying? All this if and, it's clear when he speaks. And so it said, Jesus is the light of the world, but he tells the disciples in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lamp stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, if there's sin in your life, your light is dim. And if we want our light to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and that's the only thing that's going to protect us in these days is the armor of light. There's a highway of holiness. No fool, no unclean person, no lion can get on it. And if we have on the armor of light, we blind the enemy. The enemy cannot even see us. And so we've all got dim lights, and we need to trim our lamps. And as Carla said this morning, she used the scripture of purifying ourselves as trimming your lamp. The more you repent, the brighter you get. The more light shines. The more glory is in your life. Proverbs 13:9 says, "The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out." Well, that's the root to eye. That's one of the roots to eye problems. And I'm sure I've been wicked, but eye problems run in my family, so I know that there's wickedness in my bloodline. So I'm breaking that. In Job 18, if you'll go there, please. One day, about 5 or 6 years ago, when I first started doing the word studies, I was sitting in my prayer room, and I have 4 canned lights that are 120 watts each, and I have a lamp that goes around that's got 2 150-watt bulbs. I never leave it burning when I'm gone, because I don't want to burn the house down. But anyway, you're supposed to put 60 watts in there. I got 300 in the thing. The walls are white. I have a glass door behind me. And I have a lamp that goes over my chair that's got a 150-watt bulb. And I have a lamp to the right that's got 150 watts. And I was sitting there thinking, dark in here. Then I had this thought, well, how can it be dark in here with all these lights? And then the Lord showed me this scripture in Job 18, verse 5. It says, "Indeed, the light of the wicked goes out, and the flame of his fire gives no light. The light in his tent is darkened, and his lamp goes out above him." You see, if you have a hard time seeing in dim places, it could be wickedness in your life and wickedness in the lives of your forefathers. We've all had wicked forefathers. Okay, Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So I need, if I'm stumbling around in the dark and can't find my way, I need the Word of God. Is that right? Because it's a light to my path. So I'm saying, even if I go blind, the Word of God, if I get a lot of the Word in me, hey, He's a light unto my path. If you've ever been in Glenn's basement, without the light, you cannot even see in the basement to get to the door of where you're going to stay. And so this morning I was trying to get in there without turning the light on, and I noticed I ran into the wall over here because it was so dark. But you know what? If I have the light of Jesus and the lamp of the Word of God in my life, my path's going to be lighted. Okay, Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light." Proverbs 24 says, "By wisdom a house is established, and by understanding, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." So I have to build my house on the Word of God. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the innermost parts." Proverbs 21:4 says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin." That one fit me perfect. When I started doing word studies on my eyes, Jesus was Lord. I was prayed up and I was confessed up. But when I got in the Word of God and started looking up all the words on blind, blinded, heart, see, lamp, dark, darkness, eyes, pride. You know what? I saw so much sin in my life. I thought, dear God, no wonder I had an eye problem. I have been diagnosed with eye problems. And you can do the same thing. I have people come to me and want me to pray, and I'll say, well, get in the Word and do word studies. Well, I can't think of any sin because I'm submitted to God. Get in the Word and you'll see plenty of sin. And whatever your body part is that's aching or ailing, if you will do a word study on that particular part, you'll see why you've got heart trouble. There's probably 800 scriptures on the heart. And recently I did scriptures on the heart. Repented over everyone, broke generational curses, broke soul ties. And it's haughty heart, arrogant heart, heart trained in greed, hard heart, enlarged heart. Hearts fail because of fear. You can see so much sin, you think, no wonder you've got heart problems. And please know, I'm not saying this to criticize anybody, but if I don't get in the Word to see that and I go to the world for answers, guess what? I just got more problems. Plus the side effects from the medication. So I've had so many things healed just by doing Word studies. One time my hand felt like it was bruised, and so it was the left hand, and so I pulled up on my computer Bible, left hand, repented all over all of them. And the one that hit me said, "Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing." I've done that, God, forgive me. My hand was instantly healed. And then when I started doing seminars, they used to be 40 hours. And I would stand for 40 hours, and my legs would ache for 2 weeks after the seminar. And I was telling my mother one day, and she said, "Oh, it's just those old varicose veins like the whole family has." I said, "I break that curse in the name of Jesus." Then I started doing Word study on legs. And there's a scripture that says, "God does not take pleasure in the legs of a man or the strength of a horse." Well, I've taken pleasure in human strength my whole life. My daddy has always been my hero. He was always one that I looked to. He protected me. He wasn't afraid of nothing. My daddy had an answer for everything. My daddy was the strongest man I knew. And I always so admired him and honored his strength that was the root to me trusting in the legs of a man. Cursed is the man who trusts in the man and makes flesh his arm. And then the Lord showed me that I used to curse my legs when I was cheerleader. I'd say, "I look like I've been in a train wreck. My legs look like telephone poles." I mean, I would speak curses on my legs. I repented of that. And the last thing the Lord showed me is I used to, when I was in high school in San Antonio, there's a Battle of Flowers parade, and it was about a 14-mile parade that you marched in. And God showed me that the people on the sidelines cursed my legs as the cheerleader with the ugly legs. I broke those curses, and I can stand. I'll be 70 in February, and I can stand for 3 days, and my legs never bother me. Them, I'll tell you that. I never complain with my legs hurting or nothing. But the answer's in God's Word. When I first started teaching seminars, this arm, my shoulder hurt so bad. And I thought, well, it's from carrying those heavy bags on the airplane. But I did a Word study on arm, and God showed me it was arm of the flesh. When I repented of arm of the flesh, my arm was healed. I couldn't put my hand any higher than right here. And this was the arm that was healed. Now, I could have gone and had it operated on and got medication, and it would still be bunged up. Worse. But God sent His Word to heal me. I had allergies, and I pulled up every symptom that I had on the computer, and I had a 2-inch high stack of computer sheets on all my symptoms. The Lord had showed me it was pride in my mouth, so I pulled up pride, mouth, haughty, lips, mouth, tongue, water, because it was like I was drowning in clear water, rivers, water. One said the river was the Jordan River, the river's the judge. I said, "Oh, dear God, that's me." And then I looked up all the scriptures on judge. And after a day and a half, well, before then, God had showed me, I was repentant as I knew how to be, but the Lord showed me that it was my pride in my mouth. I mean, I knew that, but I didn't understand how it applied. So when I started pulling up these scriptures, after a day and a half, I said, "Oh, dear God, you must be so sick of me." I saw so much pride in my life. I couldn't understand what kind of pride He was talking about. I wasn't questioning Him. I knew He was right, but I didn't get what He was trying to say.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.